So back to what I was saying. What I was saying.
It's easy to become tone deaf because you don't know enough about what you're talking about. It happens all the time.
I always say, man, understanding knocks down more walls and solves more problems than you will ever understand, man.
Yeah.
What's up, what's up, what's up, friends, family, and fans? Welcome to Life on Podcast. You already know this is where we listen and inspire friends in entertainment.
And everywhere.
Yep, because life happens to everyone. I'm your co-host, Stone Stafford, with my ride or die.
Johnny, hi.
Johnny, hi. Mm-hmm. And you know why Johnny said Johnny, hi? Because that's what they do in small towns. They walk by like, Johnny, hi. Stone, hi. Try that in a small town. First of all small towns aren't in the South. So I don't know why I automatically have a Southern accent.
Southern drawl.
So, yo, we're going to hop on this thing real quick because I'm going to say what I'm going to say at the end and what I think all this stuff is. But
okay.
So if you are aware or not aware, Jason Aldean, big country artist, dropped this record called Try That in a Small Town. It's on YouTube. If you haven't heard about it by now, I'm not going to say you're living under a rock because I can see where the algorithm might not put it, you know, across your feed. But check it out. It's caused a lot of division.
As everything does.
Which is going to take me to a whole other point. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this right off the bat is I believe in the alleged spirit of why he wrote the song.
Okay.
I believe him. You know, I think he wrote the song just in this whole thing of he's fed up with a lot of the nonsense and crap that goes on in this country, and especially with the violence in particular. And he's just basically like, look, you know, don't try that from where I come from. Now, he's doing it from the glasses of where he comes from, being a small town, that everyone's nice and neighborly and we look out for each other and there's no nonsense. We don't do all that kind of hoop to hop to hoop to here. So don't bring your mess here, you know. And essentially, he's kind of like, let's just get rid of the mess altogether. That's what I feel he allegedly, and I'm saying allegedly only because at the end of the day, you never know a person's heart. Mm-hmm. But I'm leaning towards believing that that's what I feel he meant by the song. Mm-hmm. Problem is, there's a lot of problems with it. Now, these are problems that I'm picking up. I also want to say this too. I don't think this whole thing would be a problem if we didn't try to pick the song apart. If no one tried to pick the song apart, it just would have been a song about the good old boy. And I'm not saying the good old boys like that. I mean, good old country boy from your quintessential traditional American thinking small town, mm-hmm. trying to do all that kind of stuff. So, and then jump in, cut me off anytime because
I got to cut you off at some point, but I'm going to let you go for a second.
Yeah, let me go for a second. All right.
Take it for a minute when I get
So, the first thing, the definition of the American small town, we have a problem with that right off the bat. Well, not a problem. But here's why that can cause confusion. Because Jason's idea, and a lot of people in this country's idea of a small town America and what that means and looks like, doesn't line up with people like me. And I don't necessarily mean just because I'm black. I know some white people that can't relate to that idea of the whole apple pie, American flag, you know, swinging on the tree in the yard, saying howdy to Bob at the corner store, or small town. Some of us can't relate to that. We see it in movies. I know friends that come from small towns that are like that. But the problem is on the other side, there are some small towns where some real hellish ish goes on. You know, there are small towns around in New Jersey that we don't go to because we're not welcome. You know, there is no, hey, Stone. No, there is none of that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know why I'm looking at the camera. I'm only talking to you. But so that's the first problem is you're now expecting everyone to relate to your idea of what the American small town is. And that's a problem. You know what I mean? Because for people like us and for a lot of minorities, American small towns were freaking scary as hell, you know, for a long time. And some of them still are. So that's one where you have to understand where people can't relate to what you're talking about. You're kind of singing to your own when you say something like that. And I'll let you hop in on that part, because like I said, I got points by points by points.
Well, the first thing I want to do is backtrack a little bit, because you've given no context on why you jumped into all the stuff you just jumped into.
Oh, okay. Well, this is my lack of media training.
Right, well, we're gonna do
I'm
that
just
real
a
quick.
Homie trying to talk.
The song actually came out early this year, I believe, like in March, maybe April, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's been out for a while. CMT, Country Music Television, has been airing said video.
Thank you.
The fact that they've been airing it up until just recently, they pulled the video for two primary reasons. One, over the attention that the lyrics started to get because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. And then two, the big one, is there was an African-American teenager who was lynched in front of the courthouse.
Now, was that officially one of the reasons why they pulled it? Okay.
Yeah. The courthouse that's in the video in 1927.
Choate.
He was lynched in front of that. He was in prison. A mob came and broke him out of prison, tied him to a truck, drug him around town, and then lynched him in front of the courthouse. That courthouse is very
they
prominent.
They beat him first.
They did
beat him to death first.
But that courthouse is very prominent in the visuals of the video. So that's why CMT pulled it. It was because of the lyrics and because of that.
And that same courthouse was in the Hannah Montana video, but go ahead.
This is where we're going to go on purpose.
Yeah.
I want to read Jason's statement.
Because I don't buy that part. I mean, it is, but that's not an argument to
me. Sure. This is Jason Aldean's statement. In the past 24 hours, I have been accused of releasing a pro-lynching song, a song that has been out since May, so I was a little early, and was subject to the comparison that I, direct quote, was not too pleased with the nationwide BLM protests. These references are not only meritless, but dangerous. There's not a single lyric in the song that references race or points to it, and there isn't a single video clip that isn't real news footage. And while I can try and respect others to have their own interpretation of a song with music, this one goes too far. All right, so.
On your point.
On my point.
The history of the lynching.
The history of the lynching aspect of it.
I would dare to say that Jason didn't know that.
This is where I was getting ready to go.
Go for it.
So,
and it's going to sound like I'm pro, but
no.
Clean it all up at the end.
I agree 100% that he wrote it from a place of where you said. I'm not going to regurgitate everything you just said because I agree with all of that. The issue that we're running into now, and the CRT thing that we're dealing with in the country is a big part of it. People trying to bury what the history is. The fact that we as a culture don't intimately know our history. When we start to create art from that place of just being from that hometown and supporting it, it's easy to become tone deaf because you don't know enough about what you're talking about. It happens all the time. Yeah. I do it. You'll say something it's in pure heart and you mean no ill intent, but you have no idea what the concept of the reference for where it actually came from.
Right.
And I think that's actually what's happening here. The ignorance, and I mean, ignorance always isn't a bad way. You just don't know something. That's what ignorance is. The lack of knowing the historical context of what that symbolizes. And then just the accidental putting those lyrics together with that imagery.
Right.
Because in the grand scheme of probability, you write enough songs, you're going to put some things together that should not be together. And if people dig and research enough, you'll be able to find a reason why you shouldn't have said what you said in a situation. And I think this is just an unfortunate situation, because I do believe, after listening to the song, I think it's just small town pride. I get 100% what he's saying.
Yep.
My whole thing here in Atlanta, when the protests got really, really big and we started finding out that it wasn't the actual protesters that were, vandalizing things. It was people flying in from other states, inciting it on purpose so that it got that media attention. When you know that that's the actual underlying event that's happening, it changes the overtones, not just the undertones. So that's what we have right now, I think, is that we've got a song that the intent was, I'm proud of where I'm from. We don't allow that where I'm from. Don't bring that here.
Right.
I get it 100%.
And the reason why I said the whole Hannah Montana thing that I brought up is BS is because she wasn't singing on a topic that could be tied to that courthouse.
Sure.
So, because you're going to have people listening to us that are going to go from A to Z with the argument. Well, I did a song on the corner of, Greenwood and South Cook, you know what I'm saying? And, unfortunately in Trenton, Greenwood and South Cook, there are a bunch of people that probably got shot on that corner.
Sure.
But I'm not sitting there saying, now you got to go through all police records and all history to find out, okay, did something bad happen on this scene that I'm doing? We're not saying all that crap. So, somebody's going to get petty like that.
Now, one of the other things that I have to actually touch on. I'm gonna drag Disney into this, and I'm gonna drag artists for our restaurants into this. Is a lot of times artists have a deeper association with the imagery they use in the art. Mm-hmm. Take Disney for instance. I mean, it's no secret now that there's been sexual connotations and sexual things hidden.
Right.
The most notable now that keeps coming around is the whole Mickey Mouse thing when Mickey was right. making the cottage. Like, oh, how was Mickey putting the holes in the cheese? What's happening with that? You don't think about it in the moment. I didn't mean to floor
you. That's so gross.
It was. Absolutely was. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that the imagery was used.
Yes, I know.
And it was slipped under the radar by the artists who were more intimately, you know, associated with and abreast of what that was.
What it meant, yeah.
And a lot of times the artists become the victims of that. They're not always mm-hmm. responsible for the treatment of the music videos.
Actually, I was going to say that too. Sometimes it wasn't, not all artists are so involved in every creative ad you should be, but you know, not all artists.
Not always the case. Yeah. And I think that's what we got here. I think that he wrote something that was inspirational to him and to where he's from. And even to America. I mean, there's a lot of patriotism in the song. I can't deny that. I mean, it's really like this, because what happened during the riots, the protests, absolutely American. The rioting part, the looting part, absolutely not American. So I get what the lyrics are about.
And that part, I don't even think he was necessarily saying that is American, but he was just calling out the nonsense of it, right?
Exactly.
And but the problem is when you pick a particular point to point out, you're going to have a 99.999% chance that you will always find a parallel dichotomy to that point, right?
Absolutely.
And so the reason why, and the stronger and more, the more you push the envelope on that, right, the stronger the pushback can become. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things I thought of before I read any comments or anything, I was watching his video, and I was like, well, dude, why don't you show the January 6th resurrections in this video? I was like, if you're just talking about you don't like the nonsense of it all, that fits every single thing you're talking about. Right. Which brings me to the whole, everyone knows that Jason and his wife are very outspoken where their political views are concerned.
Of course.
And as soon as you start saying, as soon as you say that word politics, just go ahead and just count the conversation chaotic. Because at that point, there is no point. You know what I mean? At that point, it's all agenda. It's all viewpoint. It's all beliefs and perspectives. So the moment you even put the hint, you don't have to say the word, but just the air of politics in a situation, forget about it making sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And because he's so outspoken, that's going to be one of the things you think about. He's like, okay, so this basically is a right wing video because everything you're saying is all the stuff that ironically the leftists and the Democrats support. Now you've lost your message. Mm-hmm. You've lost your message because if you would truly like that, you would show all the nonsense that pisses you off from everything, and you would give a widespread, balanced view.
Yeah.
And that's where part of the problem is visually, the view wasn't balanced in your video.
I cannot disagree with that. I'm still going to give Jason the benefit of the doubt in the fact that we can't dictate artistic license.
Right.
So,
my opening statement was, there would be no problem with this song or video if we didn't start picking it apart.
Right. No, absolutely.
If someone who had enough voice didn't start picking out the little nuances and finding, and it's not like their findings weren't valid, but if you didn't start doing that, this just would have been a small country, you know, apple pie town, a small town pride. Mm-hmm. It would have been a small town pride song. Now, Jason kind of left the door cracked open. When he was like, yeah, you just find out how far you're going to make it down the street. And how, I mean, yeah, you got to be a dumb idiot to know that you ain't talking about like whooping someone's tail. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I get it. You're just like, look, we don't stand for that crap here. So it was shaky to begin with. But it's one of those things where if you don't want a problem, no problem. But if you want a problem,
no problem.
I think I said it all wrong.
You
no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Everybody thinks I want problems. I don't want no problems. But if you want problems, no problem.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. I think the big issue, the biggest issue I think here is everyone who's taken the act of CMT removing the video and running with it. And I'm about to read this because I can't remember all the names. But you got like Kristi Noem, who's the governor of South Dakota, like flat out tweeted to Jason and was like, play somewhere that won't cancel him for his patriotic values. I would be honored to host him at the governor's residence. Doug Burgum, the North Dakota governor, he's a candidate for Republican president apparently too, is jumping on it. He says, what did he say? Oh man, I lost his comment. I'll come back to his. Mm. Ronnie Jackson from Texas actually wrote this, which I think is one of the, this is one of the more, I don't want to say insightful ones, but this is one I think people get behind more. It says CMT has gone woke because that statement is permeating everywhere now.
Stand it anymore.
He says, do they know who their viewers are? Guess not. I'll tell you this. I'll never watch CMT ever again. Boycott CMT. So now you've got this attack on a media outlet that made a move because a piece of art was starting to look insensitive to a group of its viewership. Mm-hmm. And that's a very difficult line to toe when content, one, is coming out so fast. Two, the politically correct ism of what we live in now, the bubble is so broad, you can't know where the boundaries are until something is out.
Right.
Until an offense happens, you just don't know what it is. You don't get the opportunity to allow anymore. It's there. So I think when you've got political figures that are, you know, galvanizing their base against something due to this, I think that's a perpetuated problem that it's a terrible byproduct of these incidents. Mm-hmm. Again, I think the marrying of the two things was unintentional.
Right. And I mean, part of the issue too with the, whoever came up with the visual concept of it all is you made it broader than it should have been.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The flag shouldn't have been so prominent in that whole thing, because the moment you put that flag up, you're now addressing everyone who lives under that flag.
Absolutely.
And again, you're coming from a singular viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't relate to your viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I relate to the spirit of what you're talking about, peace and not all this. Not, I relate to that spirit. But the moment you throw up that flag and then you start listing your ideals of the small town life and stuff, I don't relate to that, bro. Mm-hmm. And I live under that flag. I was born under that flag. And I'm as much of that flag as you are.
Yeah.
But I don't relate to that. So if you had kept it just at small town, you know what I mean? Then, that wouldn't have incited so much. Again, I know what he was trying to say on the larger scale. Yeah. But again, the bigger you get with something, the more you have to pick it apart and really dissect it to make sure the message doesn't get lost in the nonsense.
I will say this. I think that part of it probably was intentional because it happens in politics so much.
There's the B word.
You hear politicians say the American people want, and then they'll say whatever their district wants. Right. And I was like, bro, I don't care.
I don't want that.
I don't care nothing about that at all. Or I do not want that at
all.
And then you'll have somebody that's, you know, for an idea I have will say, well, the American people want. And I'm like, yeah, but then somebody says, next to me does not.
Yep.
That broad generalization. But it's used intentionally as a divisive product because you know when you say a statement like that, it's going to divide people. Because when you say American people, I'm an American, I don't agree with you. You know it's going to be somebody who doesn't agree with you. But you're not being specific on which American people you're talking about. So that aspect of allowing that flag imagery to be so prominent, I think that was absolutely on purpose because it was going to, I think you want attention and release. Even with just visuals.
Sometimes you need it.
And I believe that's what the intention was, just watching it from a visual perspective of why they did that way. Because it did. It created attention to me. Made me feel the exact same way you just said. I was like, man, I mean, I'm sitting here saying I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jason's intent was this.
Yep.
However, do I see the tone deafness in it as a black dude who...
That's a good word for it, the tone deafness.
And
that's
what I have to point out, is being able to see both sides, speak from both sides, but have my personal connected viewpoint of, in the overall grand scheme of things, I'm opposed to this because it represents something that was against my people.
And as I'm reading comments and articles and people complaining about this thing, I couldn't help but go back to my Trump experiment. Well, one, let me back up off of that first. A positive that can come out of this whole song and video is a conversation being started.
Yeah,
that's the positive that can come out of it. So that is the good thing about, you know, ruffling the waves, if you will, or whatever, and shaking the boat, because conversations typically can come out of it as long as they're productive.
Sure.
But the other thing I went back to is I'm now looking at people who are commenting and going off on it. And primarily, I mean, this goes across the board. But of course, I'm primarily looking at blacks and minorities, but I'm like, OK, it's the same thing I did with Trump folk when they start complaining about stuff and pumping up Trump this. I'm like, and then letting all these things that Trump would do, letting them slide. I then go in your history and be like, okay, well, when did you let this slide, which was the exact same thing? Or when they're complaining about something being attacked against Trump, I'm like, well, you're very loud now. But when that same exact thing happened over here, I don't see it anywhere in your timeline. And so I'm going to tell folks, you can't on one hand, like, I don't know. We just talked about it not too long. It's a topic I think we're going to bring up soon. But like, you can't talk. You can't listen to Drill and then comment on this video. You can't do it. You by definition, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't do it. You can't have WAP blasting on your thing. You can't. Like, you have to take a seat and become just a bystander in this. You know what I mean? Because that it's, you can't have it both ways. And that's what I'm saying. In everything, you will find a parallel dichotomy. So those of you that are doing that, and you drill all day and you trill all day and you piss that Jason out, then you don't have, I'm not gonna say you don't have the right, because you got the right to do anything, but I mean, it's hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat out hypocritical.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to the action of CMT pulling it down, this is even outside of just the conversation of, is it tone deaf? Who's it affecting? Who's it inciting? But the relationship of the artist with the media outlet starts to become fractured at that point. Mm-hmm. And I have seen the consumer and the fan base have a better connection and better be able to receive information better when you have the artists and the media outlets working together in this.
Sure.
Now there's a divide between those two things, because CMT didn't say, hey, yo, Jason, let's have a conversation. And then Jason could have went on and said, well, hey, this isn't the intent of that. And they could have talked about it. And then maybe CMT leaves a video with context, like what they did with Thriller back in the day. Thriller had a freaking page long disclaimer, you know, due to the fact that, you know, huge Jehovah's Witness family, but these are ghouls and goblins and stuff.
Right.
And I think that that's one of those missteps that happen that kind of shows that we're willing to accept divisiveness before we're actually willing to have a conversation about what intent is of what was said.
I mean, and it's pure livelihood. I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes down to your livelihood and your money, you're not working. You're not necessarily trying to look out for relationships and how does this. You're like, okay, we're going to lose money and we're going to lose business on this. Yeah. Let's cut the cord.
I would think that Jason's in a tier now to where he's not going to be as heavily affected if the music video is not in heavy rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But I 100% get that's a part of that revenue stream.
Yeah.
So it's there's a lot of things that I think were misstepped in just the action itself that created more of a problem than necessary.
Mm-hmm. We got some comments.
Ooh, comments
coming in on us from some of our supporters and watchers or people that listen to us for the first time. So this one comes from Mook, a guy named Mook. He said, I'm probably going to have to do a couple of bleeps in here. He said, hey, I checked out the song. Definitely not what I'm into. I think it's a great song with a valid point. The Lost know where to strike. Won't ever try their luck in rural areas. As someone who's young and unfortunately have been around brothers my whole life, I'm a fond believer of everybody isn't innocent. Some of my peers are demons that should be euthanized. Okay, I can't say the rest. I hate watching the news and seeing parents cry about their children being sweethearts. We need therapy and accountability. The song will definitely be controversial. Mental health is always important. All right, so he touched on a whole lot of points on that. Not quite sure what the central point was, but I think it sounds like he sees what Jason was getting, but he's not down with the song.
That's my takeaway.
That's my takeaway from that. So thanks, Mook, for chiming in. Amy Taylor, she said, in my opinion, the song is the heart of country music. Country music nowadays is a bunch of socialites who think wearing boots and booty jean shorts to a club is country. The quote unquote woke generation doesn't understand loyalty and has little to no sense of honor. I grew up in a small town. I can speak from experience. Not everyone or everything was great, but I learned faith, family, country, and I'm proud to be an American.
Okay.
That's and when I say the word atypical, that's not shade, but that's kind of like your atypical small town sentiment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with what she's saying from her viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I also disagree with what she's saying from another because her she actually was clear on that. That was her experience growing up. Mm-hmm. Those experiences are different for people who are coming up now.
Right.
The people who were in small towns back in the 50s and 60s mm-hmm. didn't have as ease of access to get to big cities. So there are people okay. now who okay. still live in small towns sure. who are heavily influenced by bigger city life, more, you know, social integration, and not just in that small town bubble. So their perspective is going to be different than someone from back there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not discounting those three principles that she said. What'd she say? Faith, family, and country. I'm not discounting that one bit, mm-hmm. But those things do mean different things.
I keep loving the term tone deaf that you keep using, because that term country, there is a lot of white America that have a hard time swallowing the fact that flag and country means something different to a lot of people. You know what I mean? And not just blacks, like, because it means something different to Mexicans than it means to black folk. It
means something different to Native Americans.
So just saying, you can't just be across the board, quote unquote, patriotic and call it a day, because that patriotism, it absolutely means something different. And just because it has its good parts, it doesn't mute or discount the bad parts, because those bad parts were literally the life of a lot of people. And unfortunately, there is a lot of just, and I say white America because there are some white Americans that get it, and there's also a lot that don't. So in generally speaking, the status quo small town country people, loving people, they don't get that. You know what I mean? And if they get it, they still don't put it in their equation of thought on what country means.
I think that's the best way. That's excellent. You said they don't put it in an equation of thought. My, if I had a response to it, would be that so many people lack the ability to get past the wall of self and get to sympathy. Even fewer have the ability to get to empathy.
Yep.
And I think that's what we run into when we do that. And it happens on the other side too, because there's some people that cannot wrap their head around, dude, why are you waving this flag so heavy? They cannot understand what that attachment is. Mm-hmm. I've seen both sides of that too. So it's one of those things that it can't really even be a conversation. All you can do is say, hey man, this is where I'm at. But if you don't have a place of empathy to even understand it, you're not going to be able to internalize that.
I always say, man, understanding knocks down more walls and solves more problems than you will ever understand, man.
Yeah.
So we have another comment. You guys, thanks for participating. We appreciate it. So Dr. Ina, she does claim that this is the first time she's ever heard the song. She's not familiar with the artist. So this is actually good. So this is from a brand new naive, if you will, listener to Jason Aldean. Just watched the video. The very first things that caught my attention when the video first started was the location in front of the building where the band was set up. And it's so funny because I didn't recognize that courthouse. Yeah. I didn't know the history behind the courthouse, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's a lot of people that did. Even before the first lyric, it gave me a not so great vibe. When I looked up info on the music video, I discovered that it's the Tennessee. We went over the history of the courthouse. The lyrics and the visuals of the song seem to be geared towards reinforcing small town conservative types in the narrative that small town good old boys somehow have stronger morals and values than the rest of the country. To me, the lyrics and imagery made me really uncomfortable, and the message I received was, don't be in certain places after dark if you aren't from here. Those are the type of vibes that it gave me. The whole thing is giving me a racist dog whistle. Now we throw that word racist around so much. And
well, let me
I see where she used it here, and I get it. But even the first person that jumped off this is a racist video.
Yeah.
Like a statement like that, I disagree with. I disagree with it. But when she just said, she was talking about the tones that it kind of led to. You have to phrase it like that.
You can't do it any other way.
Yeah, because look, at the end of the day, the song and the video aren't flat out racist. Like, right. Period. Bottom line, if that's your argument, stop it. Yeah. Because it isn't. But if it puts you in that vibe and in that energy,
the elements and symbols of it,
then that's completely understandable.
One thing that I did not interject earlier when we were actually talking about the history of the Tennessee courthouse. Mm-hmm. There was a big thing not too long ago about statue removal. There was a Nathan Bedford Forrest statue that was moved, and that was a huge thing. I'll let y'all go Google who Nathan Bedford Forrest was. Just about every middle and high school, I think, in America who's had his name on their school has changed the name. Even in my hometown. Forrest High School is no more. I think it's Westside High School now. And that's a rolling thing because of the connotation that comes with the name. So
Thomas Jefferson is always going to be safe because we all descendants of Thomas Jefferson. But go ahead.
100% understand and agree. Anyone who knows that, you know, that battle that came and then the clash between cultures of when the statue was removed and just what the courthouse has had happen and what it stood for, you're going to have that visceral response if you know that history, especially if you're someone who was on the receiving end culture who lived in the area. And I've seen that. Like, I got a bunch of friends who are from Nashville who are African-Americans who are like, yo, bro, this is we won't do that here. Like, we get up out of this side of town and we go somewhere else. And I completely understand that. So those emotions are going to, again, and even for me, if I didn't know about the statue thing, it probably would have had a lesser effect on me. And let me take that back. If I didn't know about the lynching, it would have had a lesser effect if I only knew about the statue. If I didn't know about either, I was like, okay, this is just a courthouse in the South. So,
and that was me.
And that's a lot of people approach it from that. So there are people who are going to have, you know, one, that knowledge, two, that one-on-one experience where it's going to create something in them. So I get it 100%, which is why I say I think the imagery was intentional to create that on purpose.
Right.
But I don't.
There is marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's not to say someone was so naive.
We're sitting here talking about it right now.
Right. So, and it's always number one.
Exactly.
All right. So you have anything else? I'm going to give a closing thought. All right. Now, I spoke this. I was getting gas at QT, and this came to my mind. I was like, oh, let me speak this real quick. Now, I have an iPhone. Siri.
He has a Paraphone.
So if anyone understands speak to text, you realize that there may be some pauses here because Siri is freaking deaf. So, so this is where I put my closing thought on it.
Okay.
Is at the end of the day, this news topic is an agenda, pure and simple. It's a distraction and it's a device for divisiveness. Of course, you're going to have your typical bottom feeders who I'm not going to call out. Oh, so you're not going to have typical bottom feeders. And don't worry, I'm not going to call out people like Candace Owens and other people, but who will hop on the left.
As I call them out.
Who will hop on the left. Now, this is the thing. Who are going to hop on the whole left versus right puppet train.
Right.
Because that gets clicks and views. Also, the timing is great, seeing as how we're coming up on an election. Bottom line is we are living in an age where you have to absolutely accept the fact that you have to take the stance that what you see and hear initially is more often going to be what it isn't. What I'm saying is you have to have X-ray vision and see beyond the headlines and the captions to find out what the real point is. It's definitely going to be hard to spot, which makes it so effective. That when I got finished watching this and I was looking at, there was one lady, black lady that pointed out the lynching, and that's how I learned about it. And she broke it down beautifully. There was sometimes though I listened to her, I was like, ooh, that's a stretch, you know? Mm-hmm. And then somehow Candace's face popped on my feed. But I was like, you know what? Don't be a jerk. Hear what she's gotta say. Even though I already knew it was gonna give me a headache. So I listened to her. She said a lot of stuff that I said, but of course Candace started Candacing. And I was like, okay, here we go. And of course, hers was very politically charged. And I found that in a lot of comments I'm reading, I kept hearing a whole bunch of the left, leftists, Democrats. And we're trying to turn this thing into a political thing. And I don't think it's by accident for some people. Not that Jason did it for that reason, but people are going to be like, oh, great. This is a perfect election tool. And so then again, once I said, as soon as that P word comes in there, you lose the topic. So people just always be aware. And in this age of AI and everything, first thing I thought of too was this a real video? I lie to you not. Now, if I didn't see it in so many different outlets that I trust, then that's a research I would have done. But I didn't do that much research. I truly thought it was. So that's what it is. But that's where my head is today. If I see anything, comments, news, I'm like, one, is this freaking AI or is this real? Mm-hmm. Then once I get to the point, okay, it's real, I have to then ask that question about everything I read after that. Is this a bot or is this a real person saying this? That's the world we live in, people. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is freaking exhausting. But you have to do the work. Otherwise, you will be a puppet and they will steer you, guide you, and make you think what they want to make you think. I want to say unbeknownst to you, but I just robbed you of that, really just because you didn't do the work. And that's where you are. So that's my thoughts on this whole thing. I don't think initially and organically it was anything to be harmful. I don't think it was supposed to be offensive. I think it was supposed to be in your face. Mm-hmm. And the general ideas and values that he's pushing for, I stand by 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I just don't think maybe enough forethought and foresight was given into this video on, like, they knew it could go left. I don't doubt that at all. I don't think maybe they understood how far left it would go, because they probably had just a little bit of hopium that people will get it. Mm-hmm. And people, I'm sorry, they'll fail you every time.
I'll say this. I stand by what I said earlier. I don't think it was intentional. I think it was the marrying of two different pieces of art to create a new form of art. And then the imagery and the lyrics could just be taken into different connotations based off of where you're from. Mm-hmm. However, I am not going to ignore the possibility that it was on purpose. It doesn't seem like it was intentional. Mm-hmm. But
some, you won't be shocked if it were.
I would not be shocked if it were, mm-hmm, absolutely on purpose in order to be used for this, because the amount of planning and foresight that goes into political runs, mm-hmm, is insane. Like, I've worked a bunch of political conferences. I've been in the meeting rooms for when they're actually doing strategies and all that stuff, and, mm-hmm, how far out and why they think about things. Mm-hmm. For when to insert this type of social media post 2 months out after we do this, mm-hmm, when this TV show is doing, like, it, the thought that goes into it is impeccable. Yeah. So it absolutely could be, but I'm not going to say I'm a huge fan of Jason Aldean, but I do like Jason's music. Mm-hmm. I've watched Jason's interviews a lot. I've met him and he seems like a cool dude. Mm-hmm. He shoots straight from the hip. Do our political views align? Not on a lot of things. But he's extremely talented, right. And from that standpoint, his art is amazing, and you can tell it's pure, and it comes from that. So my appreciation for him is going to always be there on that front. The fact that he just happens to be front and center right now in the middle of a media storm, sort of, and I think this thing will blow over kind of quick.
Yeah, I think so. Go.
No, it's just because of what you just said. It's solely for the fact that political pundits and social media folks were able to jump on it, grab it, stretch it, bend it, and do all these things with it to there. And it's creating all these tangential conversations, mm-hmm, that I don't think was the initial intent.
And I'm going to close with the last thing. Every one of you that want to use the good old boy reference for your argument, I'm telling you right now, you lose before you start. Yeah. Good old boy in that kind of context and scenery and stuff has been used way before the good old boys were the good old boys. So I suggest you take that from your argument, because you will not be taken seriously. You are totally reaching and grabbing for that one. Yeah. LifeOnPodcast.com. That's where you can follow everything that has to do with the podcast. You can listen to the videos. You can just watch the videos, listen to the audio. I think we even have a donate button. If y'all feel it in your heart, you want to
a digital collection. Yeah,
there's like a little link that says support the podcast. Holy cow.
Do it.
We're still working to get to that 1 million subscribers in 2023, man. I am not letting that go. So thanks for liking and subscribing. Hit a notification. Tell a friend. Everything that has to do with me, you can find at stonestafford.com. You can get to all my socials and everything.
Just starting by J-U-S-T-J-O-N-Y-V-A-N.
We are out of here. God bless America. Love you. Peace.